Father, we thank you so much tonight. Thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Father, that you have gifted every one of us individually, and you've also gifted us together as a congregation. Father, I pray tonight that our eyes would see all of us. We would see ourselves the way you see us, see our gifting, see the things you put in us that are not just for us. You put them in us because you have a purpose and a plan. Father, I pray, like I pray so often for all of us, that the eyes of our understanding would be flooded with light. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation among us and in us, that all of us, Father, that we would have eyes to see. I can't ever get away from that, that we would see. And Father, tonight, we just want you to know that we are eager for you. We're eager for what you have for us. We're eager for the days that are ahead. We know that you're dealing with us as a congregation, that we're moving into some new things, and we're thankful for it. We're expectant. We're not quite sure what it is fully, but we know that you have plans to astonish us, and we're open to it. Hey, we're expectant. We're longing to see you move in our behalf and move through us like never before. And we thank you ahead of time for what we're going to hear and what we're going to see and what we're going to experience. Thank you for the fruit that we're about to bring in. We thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see all of you tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight kind of have a little different twist. Hey, Courtney. Good to see you. Little different twist maybe on where we're going with our message tonight than where we've been in the last several days, but I think it's applicable to what God's dealing with us about right now and where we're going to be going. Right now I'm serving on a committee or a team in AFCM. They've asked several of us to serve and to sort of plot out a new path, a new vision, some really direction, and coming up with some strategies and plans. And in working with this team, it's been very interesting because I'm working with all ministers. And you think, and most of them are pastors, and you think, well, you know, pastors are pastors, right? And it's just interesting to see how different pastors can be from each other. And I find myself marveling at the gifts that God's put in people. God has gifted every person, not just pastors or ministers. He's gifted every person, you know, uniquely, and he's put things in every person. And I don't know about you, but that's one of the wonders to me of God's creation, is not just in nature, but in people. How God has made people individuals, and how it's like he has loaded them. Gifted them, you could, whatever you want to say, but every person, when God created you and designed you, he puts things in you. And some of those things you are aware of and you know about, some of them they're sort of unconscious, you just sort of take it for granted about yourself. Some of those things actually are undetected by you, you're not even conscious of them or aware until maybe someday somebody points it out to you. Some of those things you just haven't tapped into. Many of us, the things that are in us, they're just maybe in us in a seed form, or maybe just in the infant stages, and we haven't really grown and developed in them. And one of our desires, part of our values here at Good News Church, is one of our strong values is the value of stewardship. And stewardship to me is not just about taking care of our resources, like our building, even though it is that. I don't have a huge passion for that. I know some people do. That's not a huge passion for me. That's because we're all different. Some people, they're really passionate about that. And it's not just about taking care of the finances that come in, even though I think they should be taken care of. But again, that's not like some huge passion for me. But I tell you what I'm really passionate about is stewarding the gifts that are in people. Because to me, those are the most precious resources we have, our people resources. And so really just, you know, tapping into, and well, first of all, discovering what's in people, and then, figuring out how to tap into it and make a demand on it. Because I've seen in my life that things don't really get developed until there's a demand placed on me. Maybe you might call it pressure or stress. Maybe a deadline. I don't know about you, but I rise to the occasion on deadlines. But the rest of the time, I'm kind of, anybody else like that? Anybody else respond well to deadlines? Uh-huh, some of us. Others don't really like deadlines. I love them because then I actually do something. The rest of the time, I'm just thinking about how great it's going to be when one day I do it and all the options. But anyway, looking at what we have in us. Now, see, here we are as a church. We're a body together, and God's put stuff in all of us. And if you're a part of Good News Church, God's put something in you that's not just for you or your family or your job or even your unique position in, you know, the order of things, but specifically for Good News Church. There's some part you play here. There's something you bring. And it might be something, you know, we could go around and we could talk about where you serve in the church, you know, and you could say that, like Terry, she serves in a position of leadership and she works with the kids ministry. And so it's easy sometimes with somebody like that to say, oh, well, that's where it is. But, you know, really that's kind of a, to me, sort of a low level way of examining things, because what God's put in us is, you know, you can perceive it on a much higher level, because there are all kinds of gifts, some that aren't easily labeled and some that aren't easily even perceived and some that, you know, that maybe, you know, usher doesn't describe what it is, because, you know, we have ushers, but they're all uniquely gifted. And there are all kinds of things we have in us. And I just want you to take a moment. Let's look around, because you're looking at treasure. Y'all aren't looking around. Look at the people. There's treasure sitting here. There is. There's treasure. And I want you to, you know, it's Wednesday night and you probably had a long day already. Maybe you didn't sleep well last night. But I'm telling you, forget all that. There's treasure here. There's great treasure. There is. And some of the treasure is hidden and undiscovered. And so tonight, I just want to give the Holy Spirit, who lives in all of us, I want to give him time to poke around among us here a little bit and poke around inside you and maybe, you know, bring some stuff up. Before, you know, I feel like the way to get into it, I just want to read several passages of Scripture. And the first one is over in Ephesians. So if you will, you can turn in your Bible to Ephesians 4, or my main man back there, Mr. Andrew Sprinkle, will pull it up on the screen and you can follow along there. Ephesians chapter 4. I just want you to see the places in the Scripture, and there are more besides these. These are just three I selected to read tonight. There are places all through, particularly in the New Testament, that really speak of this. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, I have to stop right there and say, sometimes whenever we see words like calling, we think, oh, it's talking about like the pastor. He has a calling. But people here at Good News Church understand we all have a calling. Every one of us has a calling. God's called you, and he's called you to be his child. He's called you into the beloved, but he's called you with a very specific purpose and plan. There's a calling for you. And he said that he wants us to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then he gives some description: with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But then here's verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we're all one body, we're one family, we're one Spirit, we're all together, but each of us, there is a grace given to each of us. There is something that's unique about you. There's something God put in you, planted in you in seed form. There's you could call it a talent, a gift, a disposition, just the way God built you, designed you, something about you that's unique to you, but it's part of the body. And it's not something that's over here. And I think a lot of times people think the way they are is for them and theirs. Maybe this is going to help me on my job. Maybe it's going to help me determine, you know, how I interact with the people that I know. But you don't really see it as this is your part in the body of Christ. That's ultimately what it's for. Whatever's in you is ultimately for the service of the kingdom. It's for the body of Christ. Whatever's in you, ultimately, that's what it's there for. So here we see it in Ephesians. Now turn to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here Paul's listing out some things about the body of Christ. Verse 12, he says, "For as the body is one," so aren't we all part of one body? "The body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And he's using the physical body as a description here. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, And we've all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. You know, Good News Church, how many times have you ever heard Pastor say, Good News Church is not about one man or one woman? And it's not. It's not about one minister. It's not about one, you know, one person, one individual. Some churches are run, you know, it's kind of like a personality cult. It's just about the pastor and he's got a great gift and everybody's centered in on that. But that's not what church is about. It's not what Good News Church is about. We're a body. Oh me. Amen. And so, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now listen to this. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? See, and that, isn't that interesting? Because we recognize that with our physical body. If we were just an ear, we'd be ridiculous. If we could just see, it'd be ridiculous. It takes all the parts, and we appreciate all of our parts. I mean, how many of you tonight have a part you want to give up? Anybody got an extra finger, an ear, an eye? Can we poke out one of your eyes tonight? Honestly, I mean, I don't think anybody wants to even give up a little toe here tonight. Anybody? No, we want all our parts. I mean, we could take off a few toes if you want, but gross. Is that what you said? A couple of pounds. A couple of pounds. Anything for the cause, right? You already gave your hair. You know, I'm just saying it makes sense with our physical body that we want to keep all our parts. Well, in the body of Christ, we have a lot of parts. And even though maybe you're not so fond of some of the other parts or don't value the other parts as much as you value your own, the reality is they're all vital. There's not one we want to do without, and we need all of them, whether we recognize it or not. And this is part of just learning. You talk about one. This is part of one, is learning that we are all one and learning that we're all necessary in one. That it's not just, oh, there's the pastor and that makes the church. Because the pastor doesn't make a church. I mean, we could prove that easily Sunday. If just nobody who's serving on Sunday showed up, we'd see real quick the church is not one. And forget that. Forget even that. What about just the people who are here that bring intangibles to the services? You know? And there's many. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there are many intangibles that have nothing to do with I changed a diaper, or, you know, or I collected the offering. There are so many other types of things that people bring that we fail to recognize that we bring to the body. Here he is, what he's, you know, he's just using the body here, the physical body, to explain how the body of Christ works. But now, verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a challenging scripture to me, because I would rather that he set me in the body the way I pleased. You know what I mean? I don't know about you if you ever kind of struggled in your life with being who God made you to be, but I certainly have. I look at other people and I think, man, I wish I was like them. I wish I could be, you know, I wish I could be like them. I would, you know, for me personally, I often have the thought, I wish I could just be quiet. Honestly, I wish I could just be, you know what I'm saying? Being a mouthy woman is not easy. It's not. You should try being a woman preacher in Augusta, Georgia. See how that goes over for you. It's not easy. There's a lot of things. You just look and you just wish, well, why couldn't I be like that? Why couldn't I be all orderly? And have y'all ever gone in Nate's office and seen how orderly it is? His desktop? Did you just ever get curious? Just go in there and look at his and then look at my office. Well, and then look at Kristen's. Thank God for Kristen. You know what I'm saying? I look at things other people have and I think, why didn't God make me like that? Certainly I'm not the only one in here who's ever regretted and had these discussions with God about how he was just not doing so well when he set me in the body. What were you thinking, God? You ever had those kind of talks with him? Am I the only one? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Or you know, I hear people sing, and I get really mad when I hear people sing. Because if I could sing, man, oh man, it would be something. I think that's why I can't sing. I think because I couldn't control it. You know what I mean? If I was Jennifer Hudson, are you kidding me? We would have gospel sings 24/7 here. Do you understand? That's all we'd have. We wouldn't exist as a church. I'd be on the street corner singing. All right. But God, He's the one that had the plan. And He's got a plan. Thank God. And He set the members, each one in the body, just as He pleased. So this is all about His pleasure. And what He put in you is about His pleasure. And what He put in me and how these things connect and work together and how all this makes a body is about God's pleasure. It's not about you being pleased or me being pleased or you being pleased with me or being pleased with you or whatever. It's about His pleasure. He did it the way He pleased. God's smarter than us. And one thing I know about God is when He's pleased fully, we're all going to be pleased too. That's kind of comforting. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members. This is when it all kind of breaks down. It all kind of falls apart right here. Because there are actually many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, which we won't go into, have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the body should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ. All of us together. We're the body of Christ as a whole. We are the body of Good News Church. And members individually. And then it goes on to say, and God has appointed these in the church. And it starts listing things. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And, and then He's using these as examples. But these are not all the gifts that are in the body. And these are not just the ones we're limited. You know, you're one of these or another and that's it. But we are all the body of Christ. We're all the body of Good News Church. And then we're all members individually. So tonight we came to church. You brought your whole body. Did everybody bring their whole body to church tonight? Did anybody leave their eyes at home? Or, you know, my left hand wanted to stay home tonight. You know, we bring our whole body with us. And, you know, the local church functions best when the whole body's there, when the whole body's functioning. Sometimes not all your parts are functioning. And it's a hindrance, isn't it? You ever had like you sprained your ankle? You're just not functioning that well. Isn't that true? You just have something going on with your body and you recognize, man, I'm not functioning. And when that's happening, then the rest of the body sort of favors that part. But you don't want to favor it, you know, like if something's going on with your body and you're favoring that part, your plan isn't to favor it from now on. You want it to get better and start functioning again so the body can be whole and function well. And that's how it is in the body of Christ. There are times when part, like in the local church, part is not functioning for whatever reason, and we may favor it for a season, but we want it to become functioning. We don't want it to be perpetually failed, you know. Isn't that right? So don't be the part that's like, okay, well, I'm not going to function, because you're hindering the body. You're not helping the body. You're not pulling your weight. So this is another place. So they're in Ephesians, and then here in Corinthians, we see what Paul's talking about. He's talking about us all being part of the body. Are you starting to see that you're part of the body of Christ? You're a part of the local body? That God actually may have a plan for you, whether you're, you know, I don't know if you're the elbow or, you know, what part that you might be. I'm trying to get a thought to pass. Okay, Romans chapter 12. I know some people are sitting here thinking, well, I'm like a nipple on a man's body. I'm not quite sure what they're there for. For decoration, perhaps. I don't know. Romans chapter 12. See, that was the thought I was trying to get past. It would have been better if I had, I guess. Romans chapter 12. Are you there? Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me. So all of us have grace. Paul's talking about the grace given to him. But he's not the only one that was graced by God. He's not the only one that was gifted by God. I want you to say this. Say this. Say, I have been graced by God.
I have been gifted
by God.
Me.
I have been gifted. And you have been. And it's unique to you. It's not the same as the guy down the road. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's interesting. Because that's one thing that happens when we discover some of the gifts we have, is some of us kind of get high-minded about them. And so here's a warning. Don't think that you're bigger. You know, don't get all too big for your britches kind of thing. Don't think you're big. You know, there's a problem on both sides. You can think you're so gifted that you're, you know, basically God's gift to the body. And you ain't. Or you can just think so low of yourself. So, you know, I don't have anything to offer. And that's not true either. What's sobering and what's true humility is to recognize I am gifted. I am profoundly gifted, but it's not of me. It's for a purpose. God's gifted me and he's gifted me for a purpose that will bring glory to him, not to me. It's not about me being gifted so, hey, look at me. I mean, how does that make sense? God gifted me and, hey, look at me? Makes no sense. God's gifted me, hey, look at God. So that's what he's saying is, let's just all get a clue. One of the reasons that you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think is because everybody is gifted. And every person has an amazing, beautiful gift or giftings that's just as beautiful as yours, that's just as wondrous as yours. Maybe it's not as showy. Maybe you don't have the voice of Jennifer Hudson, but that's fine. You have something else that's just amazing about you. So that's how you keep it all in perspective. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Boy, that's some good admonition there, some good advice. Whatever you're gifted in, use it. One thing that I've discovered is as I use whatever God's put in me, I develop what I have. It gets better. It's more useful. It's more fruitful. It brings God more glory. And as I start using what I have, I start to discover other things. And see, that's the thing about developing your gifts. That's, you know, it's not about your potential. It's what are you doing with what's in you? We can marvel all day at your potential, but big whoop. It's what are you going to do with it, and how are you really going to glorify God with it? How are you going to contribute to the body of Christ? How are you going to do something that brings fruit, bears fruit for the kingdom with what's in you, with what God's put in you? How are you going to bless somebody? It's not about, hey, look at all the potential I have. It's who cares? Do something and dig down and start developing. Now, I don't know what keeps people from really, you know, tapping into their gifts. I know one thing that, one thing that keeps us from doing just about everything that we stop from doing is fear. So we're afraid. We're afraid of, you know, drawing attention to ourselves. We're afraid of failing. We're afraid that people won't accept us. You know, Matt tells a story about when he was a kid. I think you were in the fifth grade. Doesn't matter. He was in chorus or some kind of a singing group. Is that true? Third grade. He was in the group singing, and he was singing and somebody called him out and said he sang good and he was getting attention for it or sang well. And then some of his friends kind of laughed about it. And from then on, he wouldn't sing. Maybe some of you've had an experience like that. Maybe you were doing something and whatever, you just started in towards it and it made somebody else uncomfortable. And they reacted in a negative way, and that just kind of squelched you. And then you never tapped into it. That's really fear you're dealing with, fear of man. You know, in the Bible, ministers are admonished not to look at the faces of the people you're speaking to. And if you've ever been a teacher, I'm sure, Neil, you've encountered this when you're standing in front of your students, it's first period, and all you see are the backs of their throats because they're all yawning. And that can be discouraging. I mean, y'all should come in and speak at first service sometimes. You know, I mean, honestly, you feel like you need to go around and just poke people to see if they're still alive. Get a mirror and hold it under their nose, see if there's any, well, you know, it's what's going on here. So you just can't focus on people's faces. But, you know, that's with whatever you're doing. Sometimes the reaction doesn't go so well. But, you know, that doesn't matter. You're not going to let fear hold you back, are you? Now, let me just ask, real honest, can any of you say that there's been times in your life where maybe you stepped out into something, or like Matt, you were singing and somebody laughed or whatever, and it caused you to draw back? Is he the only person that's ever? No, there's plenty of us. Well, let's just stop right there for a minute. I'm challenging you, whatever that was, pick it up. Do it again. Launch out. Start again. Just, you know, just face down that fear, whatever it is. Just face it down and move through it. You got to. You have to. You need to. We need you to. Where were we? He said, yeah, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I mean, I think that's a question for all of us, is why are we not using what's in us? Laziness? Has anybody in here ever struggled with laziness? Laziness? Yeah. I mean, there are some people that they almost seem gifted with diligence. I mean, have you ever seen? I've encountered people that it seemed to me like they didn't seem to be very gifted. But man, with what they were gifted with, they were stretching it and they were pulling it and they were pushing it. And then I see other people that have enormous gifts and they just seem like la-di-da. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what that is. Passion. I mean, we could debate this for hours. Matt and I have many, many hours. Passion, drive. I don't know what it is. Something in people. Gumption. We could discuss it. But I'm telling you, at some point in your life, your desire has to overtake your laziness. And that's really what it is. It's desire. It's the passion for something. Something inside of you that just, you're going for it. I'm going to go for something bigger. I'm not going to just settle for this life. I often think of those guys that we've preached about many times, those guys that sat outside the gate there, and they those lepers, and everybody was dying inside, and they were about to starve to death, and they said, are we just going to sit here till we die? And I think about that. I don't want to just sit here at this spot in my life till I die. I'm going to get up and do something. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to make some noise. I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to use my last breath to sigh. You're never going to read that Susie sighed and that was it. I'm going to just scream my way out of it. Whatever. I'm going to have a hissy fit. I'm going to do something to move. And that's just the way. I mean, there you can just get where you just settle in. You don't want to cause a ruckus. You don't want to put any more pressure on yourself. You don't want to. I've been burned before. I don't want to go that way again. Whatever it is, I don't want to have to grow anymore. I mean, you know, you get to a certain age in life, and you're like, man, that was great when I was 18. That was maybe good when I was in my 20s. But you know, I'm in my 40s. I'm closer to 50 than I am 40. I mean, come on, isn't it time now to kick back and enjoy life? But Neva, have you ever dealt with that? That idea of let's just take it easy here for a spell? That's how you get old fast. In a period of depression, but you have to shake that off. I mean, when are you going to give up on life? Because essentially when you quit growing and you quit digging down and pulling out the gold in you, that's when you start dying. You just, you know, we had a neighbor. His name was Pridgen, Pridgen died in 1987. Matt and I married in 87. He died in July after, and he was 68. So I'm not quite sure how old that would make him now, what year he was born. But he was only, he was a young man to me. 68 is pretty young to die. But he was an old man at 68. Wasn't he? He was an old man, and I had known him since I was born. I had known him. He'd always lived next door to us. And he had retired on disability before I was born. So let's see, when that was, we married, I was 21, I was 22. So for 22 years he had been, so that would have been, he would have been 46 years old when I met him. He was always an old, old man. And his life consisted of every morning he'd get up and go down to the service station and sit around and drink coffee with the other old geezers in town. And then he would spend the afternoon sitting under the oak tree, spinning yarns. And then he'd go in and he'd eat hoe cake or biscuits and gravy. He'd sit in his front room, watch a little TV, and go to bed and get up the next morning and just really go for that life again. And he was a nice man. He was a good companion for little kids, you know. But I just think, is that really what life is about? You know, where's the... You know that song, I Like to Live on the Edge? I don't think that would have been appropriate for him. But as Christians, I mean, the people I see in the Bible, they lived on the edge, didn't they? They pushed it. You think of Peter. The guy didn't seem very gifted, did he? I mean, he was a fisherman. He wasn't like recognized for his great skill in fishing because he was basically a failure that day when Jesus met him on the lake. Remember? But there was something in him that God had put in him that Jesus saw and encouraged and brought out that he ended up being really the founder of the church at Jerusalem. What was it about that guy? I think it was just that he just would run off and jump out there, you know? Where everybody else was just being cautious, you know? He's the one, he's going to jump out of the boat and try to get to Jesus on the water. Who does that? He was just always pushing it. And because he was willing to take a risk and take a chance and try something new, he eventually tapped into what was in him. So much so, I mean, I don't know what kind of speaker he was before the day of Pentecost, but on the day of Pentecost, he became a preacher. Right. And a long-winded one at that. But we have no evidence that that was in him before. I mean, you know, Joel Osteen, how many of y'all know who that is? You know, Joel Osteen preached his first message. The first message he ever preached, ever, was the one that was his dad's last message. Because his dad, John Osteen, built the church, Lakewood. He was the pastor for years. And you know what Joel did all those years? Joel sat up in the booth, in the TV booth, you know, overseeing, you know, directing the cameras as they taped his dad's sermons. That was his life. He never spoke anywhere, never did any teaching, preaching, anything. But his dad, the Sunday before his dad died, he'd ask him to speak, and he finally agreed he would speak, and he had his first message. The Sunday before his dad dies, then his dad dies, and he, through a series of events, ends up being the pastor of this huge church. Thousands of people, and now look what's happened. I mean, that's the biggest church in America now. He's one of the most famous preachers in all of America. Do y'all remember when Joel Osteen first took over, how he would preach? Did anybody see him? He preached with his eyes closed. Do y'all remember this? He would preach and the camera's on him and his eyes are closed the whole time. I mean, for like 2 or 3 years, he preached every message with his eyes closed. I think he was just scared so bad. He would write out his message and memorize it word for word, and then he preached it with his eyes closed because he was just so terrified. That's all he could manage. And he could only stand to be, I mean, he preaches short because that was like all he could stand to be up there. But he put something propelled him into this position when he, you know, they didn't know it was there before. I mean, I'm just wondering what's lying around dormant in us tonight. What's in you that's dormant, that you haven't even taken notice of? Wouldn't it be sad if you get to heaven and find out there's this great treasure God put in you and you never even bothered to notice it was there? Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't you feel like, man, I really got ripped off, and I really ripped off the body of Christ. God could have done something great through me. But I just was sitting around. You know, it takes effort to develop yourself. It takes discipline. There's a lot of things involved in it. You have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. How many of you really enjoy being uncomfortable? Have you ever had this experience where you're called on to do something, you're put in a position, and you know you don't know how to do it? Not only do you not know how to do it, you're pretty sure you can't do it, but yet you're expected to do it, and then you have to get up and do it? That's a really hard place to be in. But that, I'm telling you, something about that, it grows you, doesn't it? I'm getting amens from Terry right here. It grows you. It's that demand. But some people are just so practiced at avoiding any kind of demand. And if there seems like there will be anything, you know, expected or demanded or asked, they immediately. Well, you think you're just protecting yourself. You think you're protecting your comfort. Maybe that's what you think. Well, you know, I don't want to do anything that's gonna. But I tell you, you know what you're doing? You're ripping yourself off. You are just ripping yourself off. And you think you're being cool, probably. Oh, did you see how I got out of that one? How I maneuvered past that? I see it all the time. That's one of the things you see as a pastor, is you see people who are willing to take a chance, who are willing to put themselves in situations that you know they're uncomfortable in, that you know that not only are they uncomfortable, but they're not fun, and they're not glamorous, and they're, you know, and it's work, and it's thankless, and all that, but they keep showing up to put themselves in these positions, and before long, you look and you say, man, look what happened there. Man, there's a lot more to that person than I knew, than I saw, because these things start coming out. It's very similar to, you know, the sculptor who has the big piece, big rock, and starts chipping away, and something emerges. You know, who is it, Michelangelo, that was talking about David that he created, which I've seen. It's amazing. I've never seen it, but it's not that he created it out of that stone. He just saw it like he was letting it free. It was in there and he let it free. And see, that's the truth. There's something in you that's great, that's awesome. And see, God's trying to set it free. He's trying to let you loose. But that process sometimes seems like you're getting chipped on. And I don't mean like God's making you sick and taking stuff from you. I'm talking about you being in you're being under pressure. You're being in an uncomfortable situation. Something's being demanded of you. There's something going on here. But see, if you, every time you see that, you know, chisel and hammer coming at you, you go, whoa, not me. Then it's trapped. You're trapped. The real beauty of you is trapped. And then you wonder why you're so unhappy. You wonder why you're depressed. No, but I'm just saying in that time, it's no wonder you're drawing back when you're depressed. Because when you're depressed and you draw back, you get more depressed. I mean, that's what depression is. It's being pushed down. It's like, you know, you're dissatisfied. It's not easy. This whole process of living and really the true you and the greatness that's in you being unleashed, it's not an easy process. I'm not standing here saying, oh, it's easy, it's great, it's wonderful. There's some really hard days in it, and there's some days you have to really fight with your willingness. I know all about fighting with your willingness. I fight my willingness all the time. In certain seasons, you just wrestle with it. You're like, not me. I mean, there's been many times I've said to God, forget it, I'm not doing it. And I just quit. And every now and then Matt will say, well, what about so-and-so? And he'll poke me. And I'm like, shut up. That's what about it. Shut up. And he'll leave me alone a few more days and start poking me. I'm just wondering. That's between you and God, you think. But I tell you, you're ripping yourself off. And you're ripping us off.
You're ripping God off. He's not getting to use what he's created. You're denying him his pleasure.
Because you're selfish? Because you're afraid? I don't know. It doesn't really matter why, does it? You just have to decide you're going to do something. You're going to make yourself available. You're going to quit being stubborn. You're going to quit thinking so little of yourself. Or you're going to quit thinking so highly of yourself. Well, I'm too good for that. I have a gift. This gift is great, but it's too good for this. Well, I don't know anybody that started up here. Do you? I'm going to tell you this. If they did start up here, I don't want anything to do with them. Because it's in the process that things are formed and shaped, and that the, you know, the junk gets chipped away from you, and you learn humility, and you learn discipline, and you learn respect, and you learn to value that God put it in you, and it's not of you. And you realize that it's not about how shiny you are, you're just reflecting Him. It's just what He, the only thing great about you is Him and what He put in you. And you wouldn't even be breathing if it wasn't for His great mercy, would you? So all that about you just gets pushed aside, and you realize, wow. And then, and here's something else. The more developed that I get in any gift that God put in me, it causes me to appreciate the gifts I don't have. And when I see other people, I recognize, man, it doesn't matter. I could do this night and day, day and night for months, and I could never do what they're doing because God gifted them to do it. I mean, anybody who's really good at what they do, don't you? I don't know about you, but I admire that. People that have just really tapped in, whatever it is, anything. It doesn't have to be something that's like what I do. Anything. I just admire it. I'm just like, wow, this is amazing that you're able to do this. We have a friend who's a restaurateur, and he owns some really great restaurants, but he has a heart to help people. And so he came up with a plan. I'm telling you, this is just brilliant. He's a spirit-filled Christian. He's a restaurateur, really good, really achieved a lot of success and notoriety in that. But he wanted to help people, and he wanted to help, like, down-and-out people, homeless people. And so he came up with a plan, and he got together with some of his other friends who were in the restaurant business, and they decided to open a restaurant where they would employ and train and hire, train, and employ people who were homeless. And they would give them a vocation, give them jobs. They weren't giving them handouts. They were giving them a new lease on life. And in doing so, he didn't just create a soup kitchen for them to work in. He created a really good restaurant that people would want to come to, but it's just staffed by people that the world would throw away. But he showed them there's value, and he gave them a vocation. And man, every time I think about that, every time I see him writing something about that on Facebook, every time I look into that, I can't tell you how much I admire somebody who used what God put in them, which is the restaurant business, to do something so great to help so many people. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I could never do this, but I'm just sitting around going, my goodness, what if everybody just took whatever was in them and didn't just use it for their own glory? I mean, he gets accolades, he gets written up in magazines, he gets notoriety. But that's not even his passion. If you talk to him, his passion is what he's doing over here helping these people. That's his passion. Meanwhile, God's blessed his business. Today he's opening a brand new restaurant today. But that's not, his passion is in what God's, and I'm just thinking, what if we all did that? Whatever it is, if we just took the little bit that we have, and we just started just saying, God, what do you want me to do? How can I help somebody? What can I do in, as part of this body? How can I contribute? How can I help? It might just be, like, let's just put it on a real, slow level here. Good News Church. What if it's just, well, I'm going to be the person that whenever people meet me at church, I'm going to lift people up. I'm just going to be the friendly person at church. That'll help. That'll help the body. I'm going to be the encourager in the church. Every church needs more encouragers. I'm going to be the person that when Pastor Nate stands up and calls us to worship, I'm going to jump up on my feet and I'm going to put my hands up in the air and I'm going to sing loud. That's what I'm going to do. Maybe I don't have a voice where I can be on the platform, but that's what I'm doing today. Do you understand that whatever you can do, you're doing it. Wherever you are, you're just wholehearted. Whatever it is, you know, maybe you're a really good cook. Well, then, you know, use that. I'm just telling you, there's just so much in you that's just has gone untapped. All of us. And God wants to do something more and something bigger and something greater in every one of us. There's just something. And I've seen some people tap into it, and I just marvel. I could just cry. Just in seeing what people have done, seeing where they were and where they've come. I marvel. And then there's other people, and I think, really? What's holding you back, man? Isn't there more? Don't you want more? I want more for you. You know, you look at your kids. I mean, I think about it in terms of my kids. It's kind of really the people I'm most responsible for are those people that, you know, live at my house. And I think about them and how many times they haven't wanted to do something. And we're going, why are you not doing this? What do you mean? Why are you going to hold back? Well, I'd rather stay home and, you know, play video games. Really? Well, it might be hard. Really? You tell me it's hard. That makes me, you know, want you to do it more, kid. You think about it. All the things. Just you, when I just think of it in terms of the kids, I just think about all the things that I've encouraged them to try and to do. And it's, you know, my goodness, I wish I'd had them do more. And I think God's looking at all of us as our daddy, and he's saying, you know, really? You're just going to settle for this? See, I think sometimes we have the idea that God's going to do something, and then it's going to propel us into his plan. You know, that God's obviously, Larry, God's gifted you, and one day something's going to happen. It's almost like the heavens are going to open, or the stars are going to align, or something's going to happen, and suddenly Larry's going to make his entrance. And I'm telling you, that is a fantasy. And people live and die with that fantasy, and nothing ever happens. You got to start with where you are. I mean, is that a principle we see in Scripture? What's in your hand? And that what, and what they, whenever they worked miracles, they always let say, now what is it you have in the house? Well, I got a jar of oil. Okay. Well, that ain't going to fix the problem. Well, you start with what you have. Just start with the opportunity that you have at hand. Just be willing to start today. Well, I want to be great. Yeah. What's the Bible say? Jesus told us, if you want to be great, what do? You start serving. You be a servant of all. Well, one day I'm going to be a pastor. Well, that's a fantasy that you would even want to be one. But I was reading an article today. It was listing the 4 worst possible jobs that anyone could have. The first one was the President of the United States, which I don't know about you, but when it comes time to vote, I don't want to go vote because anybody who is stupid enough to run doesn't deserve a vote. Honestly, think about it. You have to like have lost your mind to even think about running for president. But anyway, on that list, number 4 was being a pastor. But you know, you think, I'm going to be a pastor. That's going to be great. I'm going to have this great ministry. Really? Where does that start? Call you up. Hey, won't you come be a pastor? That's not where it starts. And there's nothing. I mean, that's what I relate to. But whatever it is, you got to do something with what you have. I know many of you are doing great things with what you have. I'm saying, let's just all of us look inside. What more? God's got more to do with you, doesn't he? Don't you think God wants to do more in your life, Brittany, than what he's done? Don't you think he wants to use you in a greater way? Am I the only one here that thinks that about you? I think that about you. I think God's got more for you, Johnny Hollins. I think God's got more for you, Ben Dupree. I mean, you've been stepping out here lately. God's got more for you. You just, you know, inch by inch, row by row, going to make my garden grow. But you just keep at it. And if it gets hard, do you quit when it gets hard? Matt, do you quit when it gets hard? Let me ask you.
No. No.
Jose, you ever had any hard days in your business? You ever had any rough months? Mm-hmm. Problems with your employees? Mm-hmm. Things didn't go that well? Did you quit? No, those challenges, that's all part of getting you where you're going, isn't it? Or quit. It's up to you. Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We just take a moment, Father, before we leave out of here and all this dissipates, we just take a moment and we acknowledge that just by virtue of the fact that we're standing here tonight, that's proof that you put something in us. We're part of the body of Christ. We just read scripture after scripture that said in the body, every member's got a part and a place, and there's something for each of us. And it's unique to us individually. And Father, I pray, as I often pray, that we would all see the hope of the calling that you have on us. Every one of us. There's a calling on every one of us. There's a position that every one of us have. There's a place for us. There's something in every one of us. Many things in every one of us. And Father, I pray that all of us would see more about that. And that we would recognize this process and where we are in this process of this coming out, that carving and that chiseling away. We would see, hey, God's doing something with my life here, and he's bringing out what he's put in me, and it's going to be a great blessing, and it's going to make me really happy too. Thank you for that, Father. I pray for even the people of Good News Church that are not here tonight, that we would see our part and our place in this local body, in the body of Christ as a whole. There's great treasure here, Father. There's great treasure among us. And I pray that we would see it, we'd be able to partake of it. In Jesus' name.